Okay, so, can we give you a break and start again and move back to the paper? But if you want to show us how to do it, we'll see on this one. We also have lots of questions, and we did lots of homework, guys.
Yeah, right.
One new face, we've got a co-op student here, everyone welcome there today.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Billy.
He's a fourth year student from Waterloo.
Waterloo!
He's spent most of his life in the Northeast building. And sometimes I'm the David building too. He's aspiring to be a... what do you plan to be when you grow up? Is all being recorded?
Yeah. Joe wants to be a fireman.
So you went to Waterloo to be a fireman. You don't even get to wear the pinky finger, right? Is that what it is? I told you, you shouldn't let people pick on you. But what do? You just let people tread on all over you and... Last week we spent time working with the kids. This week.
Does it seem like a week?
That's right. Here's a range that perimeter city has been assigned from Bell, a range of DIDs. And what we're going to do is populate this into a database, and this will help us in selecting what numbers are free as we search for new ones. So, we back out here, and within your system window, under properties, on the customers tab, while you're standing on your left foot, does anyone understand the term customer here as it's applied as it applies to perimeter scoop? The term customer is a designation within the PBX and is used primarily when you have a multi-company environment in one or two buildings. So you are the prime company, let's say, in this building. Perimeter Institute has been assigned the customer zero. If you wanted to rent out some network space on your switch, you could assign them a few cards, assign them a few lines on your PRI. However, you wouldn't want them to interfere with your dialing plan or use your voice mail or so on and so forth. So you would assign them an entirely new customer. They could use their own numbering plan, their own resource, their own phone sets, and you would even know that they're using the phone system. So it allows you to stare at your CPU, stare at costs, but stare at nothing else. So whenever the question, what is the customer, the answer will always go right. You'll find it quite frequently. So I clicked on properties and then some malware. That informed me that there actually is a key code that has been made available to remove this anchor. Just make it smaller.
Okay.
So I'll find out what
she has
She knows that a second one was purchased. Maybe Carolyn's closet.
What's Carolyn's last day today?
Is it today's last day? We'll be getting those. Clicking on numbering plans tab, and if you can place a special note that this section will be so important that if you remember one thing, remember how to get back to this place, because we'll actually come back to haunt you. You'll be looking for, oh geez, where do I put in new DIDs? This will be that place. So what I'll do is I'll assign.
And you've got to do that by right-clicking or this button across the other button.
Right-click system. Properties, customer tab, properties, numbering plan tab, and we can get back to it. I'm going to add a few ranges, or I'm going to describe what numbers are in use here, and that will help us to configure or to stay away from certain numbers. For example, what's your voicemail number here? You want to get your voicemail?
Messages by customers.
Okay, well, finally, people need to use the message, but I struggle to get people to use it. But if you have a look at the display, guys, it's 6900.
6900.
That's like Bill and Ted's excellent adventure.
7600 is our auto attempt.
Okay, so 6900 actually, if we were to take on a new co-op and we threw in all of the phone stuff, you're not a new co-op, so you're okay. You're an old co-op. We wouldn't want that person to accidentally attempt to configure a phone on 6900. Because that would conflict with your current configuration. So from your DN type, I'll select message center DN, and I'm going to reserve 6900 so that no one can dial it, no one can program it. Are there any other numbers? Steve, you mentioned sensor center. Okay, let's add another one. It'll be a message center DN, 7600. Like that. We have the range here from the email, range from 4460 to 4489. And it is a direct number dial. The exchange will be 883. So we'll put down the full area code exchange and extension 4460. And that note will remember, or it will help us remember what this is, this range is here for. Are there any numbers we could use and play this up?
So, on the old phone system, like the other place, 747-1443 was our back door in the phone system.
Okay. Do we have that facility?
That's still here or not.
Now, what did your backdoor?
It's spent directly voicemail.
So oh, I see. Well, what we can do is find out within Compilot. And our service directory number table. Remember, this was the assignments of numbers to applications. You've got an auto attendant at 7600. Express voice messaging, voice line maintenance, voice messaging. You've got another voice messaging at 2443. Would that be a DID? No way. That was a recording?
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Well, that's not an DID.
Okay. But sometimes they assign numbers and they don't lose a rate. Okay. Why would they have another number? Is it what people are using?
Call pilots or voicemail network.
Would that be something we'd want to throw in here? Add. Any other numbers in there? 7-1-1. That's just temporary. It's a test.
What's that?
But that's the standard. Voice air maintenance and express voice messaging. You don't know what express voice messaging is? Express voice messaging is for me giving people a message without having to dial their phone. So if you're really pissed off at Kevin, you want to give them a job, it's like Friday night, Friday afternoon report. Call express voice messaging. Leave a message. I'm sitting right at the desk, all of a sudden the light will go on.
That's it.
Just a few bad
messages.
Okay. So I'll have those numbers in there. 6901 to 6902. 6901 to 6902. Now once we have this here, it will help us in selecting numbers or not being able to select numbers. What extensions do we have in this building? Do they have a particular range?
know where I fit in the range. I don't know what the beginning
and there's a reason or why behind the formula, is not?
Yes. The range is 500 to... and 500 to...
Three digits or 4 digits?
It's 4 digits, so it's basically floor number plus... It's your first... Whatever floor you're on plus four. Like, okay. Like, whatever floor you're on plus 400. So,
so
if you're
in
office...
Three, what are we in now? Three...
We're in three, so that's seven, so it's like...
Seven...
So, like, 400... Right. 500 to the end of...
5,000 to 8,999.
So, 5,000... to...
8,999. That's
the possible. Okay. Conflict the range for 69 or
69. Yeah.
So what we'll have to do is...
5,002.
Well, I can address this.
Yeah. But I don't think they've got many extensions, so...
Like that.
Now, is that going to prevent us from creating instances of that?
No, it will.
It'll
show you what's been used because you can assign the same number in different locations, right? And it'll like for example,
so if the number falls within that range, sorry, if the number falls within that range, then I'm trying to.
Sorry.
You know, I'm not actually sorry at all. I think I didn't mention.
Similar.
So if a number falls within that range, right, and I'm creating one, but a person does not exist at that extension, what happens?
It'll show you the number. It actually shows you a field. And it'll show you what's been assigned. If yours isn't assigned, it'll be blank where the center field will be.
I would even say that if you want to nail down the range, you can find a range. It would be like 5,000, 5,000, 300, and 6,000, 6,300.
Okay.
Because it's
more specific.
That's more, it's because we don't have... We had less than 300 offices before.
Yeah.
So if you do that way, it'll be more cool.
No, and
it's the room number which goes into it.
It's less than 300 before, so.
Yeah, but it's. There's less than 100 rooms before.
Yeah.
It goes up to about. Like on this story, you have. 365. 370
the highest.
370, yeah. So we'll do 371, 372.
So you wouldn't have a 5,400
extension. You won't have 50.
No.
But I think on the third floor, I think you might have to add bump up the first one. Because this floor is, I would say 6,400.
Because
there's 370, right? Actually, no, that's fine.
On the keyboard.
I didn't decide.
Just do the original ranges. Oh, man.
I'm faster than you do it all the time. What am I doing, man?
That 370 will be 770 on the watch, right?
Yeah.
So you have to go all the way up.
We're pretty much at 7,000, right?
Yeah.
I'm still not. Now when I go into the system window and state administration. Let me view against...
Yeah, so we do have extensions outside of range.
First name.
Six.
If I look at John's set, and click on T0. Examine the intuitive nature of this program.
Wow.
Double click on the VM field.
That's nice.
I'll type offset is that
it.
No. Oh, one already knows the word
says.
So if I wanted to reassign this number, I could select it and click on assign, or I could double click. I'm not going to play around with the sound set. If I wanted to add a new line, let's say, on Q11, I could change from a single call ring. I so.
What is that? What's single call length?
That would mean the line can sustain only one call and raise, as opposed to a single call non-negate. It only flies.
What's the difference between that and a multiple dial?
But a multiple call ring.
Okay.
We described multiple call ring last time. And if we had five appearances of the same number on five different sets and with a multiple call ring, all five sets would ring. One person would pick it up. And if another instance of a call came in, the next four would ring. Any one of those last four could pick up. In a single call environment, all five calls would, or all five sets would ring. If one person picked up, the next call to that number, they're busy. Because it can always sustain one call.
Right.
It all depends on the treatment you want to give back. Mm-hmm. If you want it to ring, then make it a multiple call. These are all features which are available to you. But now, focus on those on your buffer system. Okay, and so that's about it. Thanks, guys. That's good.
Yeah, okay. Good seeing you.
And,
so we can make up something for next week, but?
Sure.
Okay.
No problem, honey.
What we did is we finished assigning that table.
Okay.
And I'll just show you quickly. Right here, customers, properties, numbering plan. We assigned our numbers according to our formulae.
Okay.
Go.
And what pop those numbers up? Oh, you got a good stuff. I see. It was written in the start. Okay. So you already did.
Okay. Blame him because he came
over. Blame him. Blame him.
And if there's any credit due, it's over here. Then what we did is we took a look at a phone set. And if we wanted to reassign a key, or if we wanted to program a new key, examine the intuitive nature of this program, right. Double click here on that field. Okay.
So basically that other screen will just populate that disk.
That's right. Now all the numbers that are here, see that? Now let's stop at 5399 or 3400 and then we'll go on to the next grade. So you couldn't pick a number outside of 4.
If you pick key one in, would it part?
Let's try 5500. Okay, it'll let you do it at this state.
Okay.
Let me click cancel. Under options, global preferences, you can tell OTM to validate the end of the outline of your system preferences. So now that we've set that up, we can actually do that. So let's try playing around with this phone set here. I'll program an SCR key at 5500.
Oh, it's so neat.
Okay, and it'll tell you that 5500 is not an order. Same thing would be for 6900. DN type conflicts with input DN type, meaning you've used 6900 somewhere else, choose another number. So I'll click cancel. We don't add any functions to the website.
One thing I don't understand, so I don't mean to interrupt, but I didn't mean to interrupt.
You do mean to interrupt, actually.
Why did we have to block out these ranges? Because these are incoming ones. How does that affect our internal intentions?
Well, we're not blocking them up. We're allowing ourselves to configure them.
Oh.
This portion of us was born out of the question, I don't know what's been decided. So now that we've defined the range, we can use the same utility. Program a single call ring and key. Double click there, and the range is from 4460 to 4489. Well, those are the two that have been assigned that are directed in the OTM. there happens to be another table that points these to different extensions.
Which is what you're really doing. So at this level.
Right, far. There's a deeper level. Now, 4488 and 4489 are going to slam the OTM for state limits ranking. Because the DID ranges don't agree with, I don't understand why they all couldn't give this to us, don't agree with our own numbering plan inside here for our different floors and different ports, this numbering plan has to be mapped to our numbering plan. So let me show you how to get to there. Do all your nodes support have a description on how to get to the system terminal?
No.
Okay, consider yourselves shown. When we're in here, you log in, password, your number from last week, password 1. If I go on the load 49 and print incoming digit conversion table. I only know these lines because I go home and memorize them before I go to bed. For customer 0, you'll see a table that's got IDDT or incoming digits and converted digits, CDDT. So you'll see the rest of the DIDs that have been assigned to these different terminal extensions. This is what John is doing. By the way, I have no idea what I just said, so you better make good notes. Sometimes I start to understand later.
So did you, what did you type? Did IDT space test 0 or return IDT?
I'll go into load 49, I'll PRT enter, I'll type IDT enter, customer 0 enter, and then enter again. It'll tell me the incoming digit table to the converted digit table.
So are those direct mapping? So if you dial 4460 like the rate 83, it will reference that extension?
Yes, for example, the last entry. If I dial 519-883-4476, it will ring on 7000.
Okay, so that's the only purpose. These are not like the lines for us to use for calling out.
No, well, in fact, you calling out is independent of these numbers.
Yeah.
You can call out to the full capacity of your PRI. And do you have one or two? Do you recall?
One.
One? So then one PRI, you'd be able to call out 23 lines.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Is that like a T1 line?
Or? It's exactly a T1 with one channel reserved for a detail listing for calling out the instance. Okay, a T1, actually, the term T1 doesn't contain the detail, so it's just a digital channel. So you get 24.
24.
Correct. A PRI, these are both IDM terminologies. A PRI, primary rate interface, actually takes the last channel, makes it a data bearer thing, and sends con ID and call control message between your central office and your PBX. And it's almost like a header, like a TCP/IP okay. And then you've only got 23 channels left. So you have 23 data channels, and then one data bearer channel.
So then I have to mark all these down, so we got a list, or is there a way to print it?
The way to print it would be the way that I just did. I can kind of paste this, if I like. Or would I cut this? I'll kind of paste this. Are they desktop?
I'm just thinking of adding more, right? So,
okay. We could do that right now, or we could do it later?
Do it now.
Okay, let's do it now.
I just figured out that you've got the window up and all
the computers. That's right.
And I don't know if you noticed there, but 1443?
Yes.
It's probably that 747-1443.
Okay.
So that's probably.
So you're paying. Are you still paying for 1443?
I guess you must be.
Okay.
I have a bell bill sitting on my desk. And
yes. There's your answer.
I think there's one that's mapped.
The best thing is to disconnect it or send it to the receptionist.
Right.
And then if that person gets a lot of phone calls, what happens to 1443? Then you can either
say, okay, this is written.
Or program 1443 on your own phone set to find out how many times you wait before you disconnect it. Or program on Steve's. have them wait by the phone and count the calls.
That's the co-ops.
Oh.
I'm in here.
Yeah, we're all having fun.
Balls in your court. Now, I would consider everyone, every person in this room to be a bad host because you've not introduced him to this film. I don't even know this guy's name and I'm thinking about it.
It's okay.
This is cool.
Thank you. I wouldn't put up with this crap, by the way. I just walk out by now. I'm like, fine, I'll pull a fire alarm on you or something. That's great. That's great. Have them installed in your house or something.
I have to go to hockey. I need an excuse.
What numbers would you like to sign in?
4477.
4477?
Sounds like a good number.
Okay. Since, let's see if 4475. Oh, 4477. Let's see if 4477 has any conflict with getting your memory finder. Steve.
I was going to say, it's going to be a lot of data and doing stuff. So this is quite a rebalanced software.
That's right.
I can't remember the demo.
Actually, it's interesting he picked 4477.
It's chicken.
Oh, no, he didn't enter a lot of times. He's wondering what the hell's going on. Apparently, your car's being programmed.
Okay.
He's taking care of it. We don't need to use the IDC table to map to the same number. If we program 447, is it 4477?
That's the next one.
If we program that, it instantly goes available. We don't actually have to map to the side.
Right.
We don't need to steer it. It's basically like a software pointer to point the calls.
Yeah. So now with this video conferencing system, with the one that's in the booth, you can use up to 6 ISDN ones if you want. The portable one we have can use 4. So we kind of thought, all right, 2 groups of 4.
Right.
So if I'm telling someone to call me from remote, and I give them 4477, I was against the next group.
That would be
maybe the group.
You can put them in a group. We'd also have to coordinate with how the technology works. So we only need to set up one related negotiation number of channels. I've seen some versions of Polycom where you just check off the number of channels you want.
Yeah.
You put in one number and it takes care of the rest. It tends to make all the connections.
Well, right now the answer is we're not going to program it in great video problems and stuff. Westbury's back next week.
Okay.
I'm hoping to do that.
We would need
to do it this week. We didn't have the cards.
Right. We would need to coordinate.
Okay.
So we would need to find out how they want to set up their so that maybe they only want to set up 4000, or maybe they want to give the user an option 406.
Right.
And then we can set up the PBX so that that number is present on all or can set up 100. You would need to swallow all
the days of days since I'm not here next week. Do I get your number? Do I get Steve's number?
Who's your alternate contact at school? Instead of Carol.
I'm not sure that she gave me that. She gave me her boss because they hadn't decided to sign a new meeting.
Would that be Scott Dave?
I don't know if you know.
Is that Dave? Somebody? The best thing to do, not to say don't follow us,
yeah.
But just in case, like, Sometimes I get placed under different jobs.
Yeah.
So just for trackability and investing, we can just put that call through. We'll definitely make ourselves available, and Steve's going to finish this programming. It'll be just a minor tweak at the end.
Before you get through today, I want to be able to at least get them their four lines down.
That's right. That's right. And then I'll see you and find out what scenes and what scenes. Okay, so Steve, what sort of questions did you have when you were working with the system?
One that I kind of forgot was we had to change the name in OTM system administrator. I wasn't sure where to go to, so where did we go here?
The name, like the login name?
Just the name as in the display name.
Okay.
So instead of going to system, is it the CNV? Yeah, I meant to grab my other notes here as well.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so in call party name display, if that one we actually changed the name.
Well, let's go through that. Let's return to state administration. And let's say we're working with a phone set. We'll pick on Oliver's name. Oliver's name or last name is Winkler. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's grayed out here.
Yeah.
So you might think, oh yeah, Dave told me that we need to do it in CPMD. So 7611, we went back to CPMD and looked for 7611, view, sort, remember. 7611, right there. You'll find it also grayed out. Is this way in the area?
No.
No. You'll find that there is a check mark stating that this is linked to a directory. So you're thinking, well, what directory? And why do I have to go to two different places? What is this all about? Mm-hmm. Well, within the PBX, if I'm administering and I don't have OTM available, I can administer phone sets in one particular load. And if a customer gives me a whole pile of name changes to do, more than five, then I can go into a different load and just do name changes. Because there's actually two different databases for phone sets, and for names within the PBX, for separate entities. And so then OTM has been built to mimic those two databases. I've got a station admin, and I also have a CPMD. When we went to the station admin, we found out the name was grayed out. And when we went to CPMD, it said link to directory, the name was. So there's actually something within OTM over here that allows you to access the directory. And if I click on details, we'll get into a new program, and it'll show you the name, Oliver Winkler, and its association to the numbers, 7611 and 7833. And if we wanted to change this, we could do that here. Now, maybe we can find someone to correct instead of working on Oliver's.
We did change Karen's. I guess it was just the process. Do I go first? It's like, I'm going to station administration first.
Steve Morris is no longer at 7531.
So, but when we went to Karen Wojcicki's on system administration, we made a change. It didn't automatically create that secondary change. So, you know, there was kind of like the original and then the change you're supposed to
have. Okay.
So I guess it didn't create that. But then we went to the...
Well, if I could interrupt.
Sure.
When you say it didn't flag a record for change, right?
Yes. That's
were you in station admin at that time?
Yes.
Okay. It so won't set a station to be changed because it's not going to modify phone set. It's going to modify name.
Right. So we should have gone, which is then what we went to afterwards, to the CPMD.
Okay.
We made our change there, and it did create a change.
Okay.
We select a change, then we went to transmit and select.
Okay.
And ran it out and worked. Okay. So that's what
and
we should
what do. Number was, what number is Karen again?
6061.
6061. I believe we are, there we go.
Yeah.
If we go to Karen, and that's correct the way it's installed?
Yeah.
Okay. And you were able to work with the director at that time?
We were at that time.
That's great. That's good. So it actually is all the confusion. It's not really in station admin, it's not really in CPMD, but it's in a directory.
Okay. Right, okay.
Why don't we try to work on Kevin's inside his switch name? Or like, do you prefer not to?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Actually, well, they'll place you in the hot seat. Kevin can accept a little name there.
Okay. Kevin, modify Steve Morris. He needs to move to the office, so that's why I'm going to command it.
I said open last time.
For spare pulse?
For spare, yeah.
So, something also to consider here is if spare pulse calls you, and it'll say, oh, I need something to program on my set. If you place spare phone and then the DM, you need to open it.
Sure.
7531.
That's good.
It just makes it unique with it, because if you stick to a spare phone, that's great. What if you have 20 of them?
Is that okay?
That looks great.
Okay.
And then you actually won't get a changing record here. You'll have to go to CPMD to find your spare phone 7531 in that program and sync right there. Here's an in for you, Kevin.
Yep.
You can synchronize or view sort by 6 days. So you don't have to go hunting for the number, bring it right to the top. View sort, 6 days. And there it is. And you got a couple of jobs there. So do the replace ones. Those are current.
Yep.
And then just highlight all three.
Oh, I see.
Now your nose is Windows.
And then
synchronize. You can look it up in the scheduler and see if the job is there, and then you can force it again.
Now, I'm running this job, will disconnect them from the phones?
No, this will not do that.
Oh, okay. So it's just the call pilot changes.
It's just the phone set change.
Oh, the phone set change.
Yeah, call pilot will not affect anything with voice phone.
Okay.
This will only affect their names. However, if you change the key on your side or so on and so forth, then it will impact.
Oh, okay.
So perhaps a good task would be to go through the names and fill in the blanks. Like, for example, the janitor. Or Joel Brownstein.
Oops. Okay, I did this.
Okay.
And I did this because I don't see a last name. Am I just missing it?
It's right there. See it? Right there. Right there. See that there? Right there.
I don't see it.
No, over there. See that there?
No.
Nope.
Is this a bug in the program?
Let's take a look. We probably created something which is slightly different. Let's take a look at another one. Yeah. All right, about that. Here's an employee editor. What did we have before? So Joel is a project. I'm not commenting on his persona per se.
So that means what?
That means we would have to somehow remove this and create an employee.
Okay.
Yes.
So we remove this.
Well, what do we have under directory options there? Just being curious and speaking about the pull down at the top.
Yeah.
You know, create a new employee.
So then I just put
there it right. Now you got a facility.
Hey,
where are
you? Hey.
I'm talking to you.
I actually have to think what makes it more magnified.
Oh, yeah. I know, you want to play the piano. Right,
you learn how to play the piano.
Yeah. Look
at that application.
You just can't make Monty Python references anymore.
So what happened to that other name? Is that name going to be?
That's a good question. We can go back to the directory option and click on Find button. Find button. And see if it's going to be entered in twice in the directory. Maybe you can organize by name or another name. Oh, okay. You can yank that out. You double clicked, didn't you?
No, I single clicked.
Did you single click? Yeah, you selected it. Now reassign your goal as a program. What you can do is yank this one out.
How do I do that?
Is there a toolbar button?
There's an X.
There you go. Bye bye.
Oh, no, don't do that.
You'll see the banner after the sign is out, sir. And then, let's go find, oh, we're not done. See how it says auditorium?
Yeah.
We want it to say name, but we're not.
Go. Yes.
Yeah, so let's go back to where your entry was. You want to create a new one.
Yeah.
Oops. Can you move it a bit quicker?
Yeah.
I think you're right. Okay, let's go back and under director options. Assign to existing entity because you've already created it, right?
Okay.
Click find and go find your goal as an employee.
Nice.
Oh. You're just sorting it, that's all.
Yeah.
What's the screen to start with?
Round, round, slide.
Oh, I think it's B. There it is. Okay, so now that's what you're expecting.
Okay.
Good stuff. There. Now it's set up properly. We need to go to CPNB to see if we've created anything different. Or if it's set up anything to be replaced.
Can I have both these open? Station
description. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And you've got it sorted by sync size, so the answer is no, we don't need to change anything. Okay, Joe, was there something on the list you wanted to do, or just to help us?
That was to help me.
Okay. Responsive. Attentive to others. These are all things that you can scratch out on this review.
So you get 69-43-0. I remember it again. We had 6900-102, I don't remember it.
It would help us because then we would notice it.
Then we would use it by accident.
That's right. Let's get out of them. Okay, here's something. We've got all these active windows. If we go into here, click properties, you'll notice we don't have enough name in the file. It won't let you assign anything in these fields until you ask it to close everything. Because these databases are considered open and you can't modify them. Any items on your list that you had?
No, I
don't know.
You know, the 5-minute demo we gave you the other day, hash over, and use the variable. Go from there.
That's
great. You had that problem with not being able to take that phone number.
Yes. I believe a reboot would be required. So maybe on your next. There's other ways to record the reading. Let's spend some time there today.
Yeah, because I know that on the general message we get, you gotta set it up for under institute.
Right.
They don't like it. Some people don't like that.
Oh.
They want to walk into it for under
institute. I can scale it up so that a lot of people.
Gives you an indication. But anyway.
Can I
have some
nasty
costs? Yeah. I stole that whiteboard
back from Facebook.
Okay.
Did you
wipe
it off?
Nope.
Okay.
That's enough.
We'll copy
the
stuff off.
Normally when we record, it's just meant to be temporary. Do you have a pretty voice to record?
We will.
Okay. The facilities we would record that would be to dial the voice item maintenance number 6911.
Okay.
The first thing he's going to prompt you for is he's going to say voice item maintenance, application ID. So you're going to respond by the ID found here, this one. So you'll type in, for our auto attendant, 1,000 pound. Next he's going to say password. This is like logging into a mailbox, right?
Yeah.
The password is defined in the actual application. Click on File, Properties, Security tab. So your password is star star, star 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 star, star 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 star. You can define a new password now if you haven't told it.
I haven't told it.
Okay.
Or I don't know.
It's a numeric base. That's right. What would you like it to be?
Pretty good. What we did the other day.
Is that too simple? 3-3-2-2-1-1?
3-3-2-2-1-1.
3-3-2-2-1.
Can you change it, or is this the one change? You can see how many times you like. It's just really a matter of remembering how to get here,
yeah.
And then remembering the password when you give it to the lady or the analyzer before. Welcome to the Perimeter Institute. Oh, the. Not the.
The. Welcome to
the. Welcome.
Yeah.
Get, what's our previous Prime Minister name? Have him do it. And we're getting to have you walk in and under it, so I'm going to end it right up. You're very annoying if you can't piss me off. This open concept thing just really sucks. I know what this room is. It's a modified squash court. I finally figured it out. That's the observation deck.
It is.
You can play squash in here. That's why, oh. It's been bugging me. It's like almost the right dimension, isn't it? Some lights are over here.
Nice. We have a squash
court. Yes, I'm very well sexed.
It's not here yet.
One of my favorite, most favorite sports. Up there with drinking beer and whatnot.
But it's not.
It's a lot of it. The beer has been going a lot slower this year. Like,
I know.
Okay, so we define the password for this. If you're logged in to the app or application and you want to experiment with voice ID maintenance, they'll inform you that there's a conflict. So you actually need to close your window. Alright, so Steve, since you've been paying attention for the past couple of minutes, grab the phone and let's change or listen to the voice maintenance prompt here. Go hands free, click on mute so that, yeah.
It's out in 1,000.
We'd like to edit the contract. So hang up. John will give you instructions on how to access the phone.
691.
Voice application. Application ID.
So 1,000. 3811, number signed to the table.
Board of Higher Education for application ID 1000 from diabetes.
3-3-2-3. Oh, no, that was the last one. No, she's asking what
function.
Okay, hang up.
Selected. Just press number
time.
To select
the problem. She has to get pissed off.
She's complaining because this is over.
No, no.
Is that what was happening?
We didn't, because there are many announcements within the application. She was asking us for the announcement. And there are 5. Hey. Can't control my classes.
It's not the.
Where's my big stick?
Your taser.
You're dead. Give me that. That's all I got. Let's not invite that Dave guy back. He almost killed me the last time. Water guns. Wait till after comes the pop of this quarter right here. There are 5 voice activities. They read off hours reading events, general info, and directory attacks. So we should make a directory attacks.
Yeah. John.
Everybody just wants to go back to playing foosball. Can you tell? Event screening. General info. Directory facts info.
So I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way to just listen to these independently?
Definitely. That's actually what we're going to do. So we'll have Steve listen to them and not support through them. So dial number, you can actually double strike the green key.
Sorry, you will.
Go to the key, key 0.
Key 0.
Pick up a line.
So the green button. Green.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. Whoa.
Okay.
Well, it's actually the application. You can play it back, yes, but I don't really understand. Once you record it, either you re-record it, or you can save it.
So, you record it, mm-hmm. And it's live immediately, or you get the option to
fill it? It'll be live once you hit it.
Always.
He can re-record it over and over again.
Right. So if you recognize it, and making that announcement thing, and I screw up.
Don't stand in the laughter.
It's
going to end up. Re-record it again.
Right. Say it's on record, no confirmation.
Correct.
Hanging up. So it's active. Okay.
Okay, Han, if you had created a new application called Ticketing and you want to use the same facility, how would you do it?
after co-op?
Well, co-op didn't turn the classes, so he doesn't know what he's doing.
Man, I'll just sit through it and watch you get
started. Do you remember how to set the password? Do you remember how to set the password for new applications?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to show me out? If you want to wander around, it's like, just tell me what to do.
You
have to figure it out.
I'll go in the menu.
Where are you going to
go?
I'll give you a hint. If you want to set the password for a particular application, you actually have to have it loaded.
Yeah.
So let's go load ticketing.
Yeah.
Okay. File open. And then ticketing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You do the rest now. That was your hint.
I go under options.
Options? Everyone's going for pizza and beers, and they're all waiting for you to finish.
It's not far from the truth, actually.
Under edit.
Under edit? Okay.
Under edit, under view.
View.
I can do this because I can't.
I believe it's only 3 weeks. 1 week has two clear limiting moves.
Oh, it's
not
there.
I just don't know.
Okay, I don't know, there it is.
We just...
File, properties,
security. So we need to enable it, and then we need to put it in option.
It's a problem. I know, it's a good thing.
Now we've got a star by the title, we need to click on save, and then we can go modify it and record it.
So what program is it? Can we start from the beginning? I feel like I missed a lot.
Great.
I don't think we got, did we get this part of the thing?
So what happens when you just walk in, walk
out?
Did
we do this today already?
Was that very high enough? First.
You gave me a 5 minute demo after you installed the software.
So we log into Call Pilot, and under the application builder link, it will load the program. We'll then open up the auto attendant or the ticketing program. We'll open up a ticketing program. And this is just like Visio. If I wanted to create an option setup, and I wanted to call forward that to 47 or 447 setup,
mm-hmm.
I would do this. Call transfer log. And what would your application be? The application you wanted to create for people's pins and
it is kind of ticketing.
Okay. Transfer to what? What's your box called then?
AST.
Spell that.
AST.
AST.
ER.
ER.
IS.
Okay. Okay. And so it's pink right now because I need to connect it. I need to configure where to transfer to. Got
it? That is it. ERI line.
Where it's going to be.
Okay.
Yep. And I also need to indicate on a failed or busy where you want the console to go. No, where do you want the console
to go? Well, this is, it's going to run to another auto attendant.
Okay.
So it will handle like all that stuff.
If it's successfully, it will work. Right, but if it fails, what happens if your box fails? Where do you want the console to go?
Route it back to the original auto attendant to maybe a message.
Okay. Well, if we bring that back over here, then they're going to get the same menu that they were just at.
Okay, so a new menu.
Okay, so we want a menu, or do we just want to play an announcement? You have to consider this is a failed scenario. So if your box fails and we can't call for some reason, then what do you want to call us to get?
I would like to call us to get back running to a new menu because it's still not process to call this time. Please call between the hours of this on the day.
Okay. Or we can send them there automatically.
Right.
Or a voicemail.
Okay, so what would we like to do? Honestly, fix something.
Let's go to a voicemail.
Sure, voicemail.
Okay. So I'll click on the system button. And then I'll install Express Voice Messaging. And what mailbox will this be?
Name or number?
Number, please.
Number? Let's go to line 7052.
7052. And I'll connect failed or busy. Like that. Notice how it's no longer pink? And I need to configure this to the mailbox. 7052. Click on OK. Here, I'll click these right.
Okay.
I need to click on Save. Now, that was option 7, right? You can make that option 7, option 9, whatever you want. You can make it star, pound. You
can't make it 7.
We cannot make it 7. There you go.
Okay.
I missed the name to make it 7.
Okay, so how do we access this program from our auto team? How do we work the integration plan? And can I see a diagram of the auto attendant linking to my program and see
we have created one.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We haven't put it in the service because you probably want to test this.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a lot. We don't know if 4477 is going to work.
Right.
Can we rename that to 4477? Just a bit more information.
That'll be that.
That's right, it'll be something different.
Oh, so we would use the unit to 4477. Okay.
Or whatever ID we get from BMI card or in theory, this is how it would be.
So we've got this application now. And let's record this menu announcement to say, please press 1 to hang up, or press 7 to transfer to the ticket. So this be an example of us how we record. Okay. So let's record. Sorry? Well, there's a competition going around here.
Actually, what is rotary do? Send you to a message. So.
Rotary, if you time out, you don't have the facility to click on or to press any buttons. It's sensitive. And then it's you can control where it goes. Like if you were to have press 1 for English and 2 for French, well, if you wanted people to time out and automatically go to English, then you could connect the rotary to follow the English.
So basically, you set the flow for rotary dialers to the standard sort of thing that you expect.
That's right. And then that's just a possibility, whatever you want it to do. Okay, please create a DTMF 1.0.
Voice
ID, please. Application ID.
7111.
Please enter the ID number of the application to update. Password. Voice ID maintenance for application ID 1001. Prompt ID 1. To review the prompt, press 2. To re-record it, press 5.
Press 2.
Start of prompt. End of prompt.
I'm going away from.
Okay.
Say again.
To review the prompt, press 2. Start of prompt. End of prompt.
That sounds good. People get ding ding.
That's great. Or the Microsoft voice setting down.
Or on the Intel.
So let's record it, say press 1 to hang up, press 2 to go to the ticket.
Press 7.
That's
all right, sir.
Yeah.
Recording will begin after the tone. To end recording,
press 1 to hang up, and press 2 to go to ticket. Thank you.
Recording stop. Review the prompt.
Seven.
Oh.
That's two.
Press five. Start prompt.
Press one, two. Press two.
Okay, press one.
Press one?
Huh?
That command is not recognized. Please try again.
Okay.
Why do you repeat that, actually?
So I'll take that and connect it to say your butt. And what's the second line there on your set?
7815.
What we'll do is we'll fan that to 7815 and see if it works. And go straight to 4 lines. Save. Okay, let's go on the room.
Okay, so I'm going to dial 1001. Bring it. I think I'm the assignment.
Ticketing
is at 7111.
If you actually wanted to ring, please try to slow the close of this one. And then you want to hear your voice. Your beautiful voice.
Thank you. Sure, thank you.
Press what?
The button.
You drop the line?
We drop the line.
Okay. Now again, let's try the second one. Okay. So if you're on this, they have a reason to whatever your system would be.
Right, so it's bringing through the 7-1. Awesome. That's cool. Now, scenario number two, say we don't want to, Kevin mentioned about not being able to support a secondary server. You mentioned a hardware piece we could purchase to make no need to connection from our...
Yes, it would be a substantial purchase.
Or a substantial purchase.
Substantial, right. More than... $20,000 in hardware and a standard amount of development.
Okay.
Because I'm basically taking the feature from a call center environment.
Okay.
Where it would be more common. I'm sure you can purchase refined hardware and software that would better suit what you want. You don't want to have 100 calls come through in an hour. About 5, right? So again, then everything needs to scale back. This needs a bit of work. If I wanted to import a WAV file, I could create a new voice item, and we'll call this the transfer announcement. I could import, let's see, what's it called? Notify, it's got a nice long one. What else? I don't know what else. What else? Okay. Save. So now what's going to happen is you'll dial through. You'll hear the first announcement that you recorded when someone strikes two. Then you'll hear the Microsoft sound, and then it'll transfer back to set. Okay. Okay, go for it.
That was 187 kilobytes.
It strips it down to 8-bit and mono.
Okay.
I just have a surprise on the screen itself.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Mm. Any questions this way? You see me click and drag a block, connect it, configure it.
So you say we go through the whole process, we get to mailbox 7052, we just say asterisk. I want to return back to and say something in my application's either failed or they got there by mistake, I want to return them to.
Well, here this end here is not configurable. Okay. Once you are leaving the message for someone, after you left the message, you're actually no, or while you're leaving the message, you're no longer in the application.
Right.
You're in a facility of the message. So,
so that's just a full functioning PBX. If I have PBX, how do I reroute to it if I'm only connected through that ARA cable?
You can call back or transfer.
So I can do a call a transfer through that.
It's a 701 phone. Or another number. Yes. A conference is very similar to a transfer. If you conference in that number, and then you wait until you hear something, it's almost like a supervised transfer. Almost like, I call you, I'm trying to get a hold of Kevin. Instead of transferring you over Kevin, if you conference me, you get the opportunity to say, hey, Kevin, you want to talk to Dave? Because we really need to get off. You know, need some help. Yeah, sure, okay, fine. Then when you hear conference again, I'm now talking to Kevin. You're part of it. When you hang up, now only Kevin and I are talking. So in your hardware and software, you may have the option to a conference, and it can make your transfers a little more graceful, if you want that. Final questions, Patrick? Your notes are all fully detailed. You'll be able to administer this as soon as Steve fits.
Sure.
Take a second. Because he's going to create some system. It's going to be so fancy, it's going to work. And then after that, he's just going to work some else. And then everyone will be cursing. At least you have that. See, right now I'm doing some crazy. Remember how to add and remove the mailbox? Yeah, and what we can do is we can get Joe to sit here, and the group will steer him through adding the mailbox and removing it.
I think Joe actually had notes. We showed him a little bit today.
Please refrain from pointing and laughing while we didn't know to do this.
What's your first guess, Joe?
I thought I was being invited
to create a new one.
Well, let's kind of start at the beginning. Click on home, please. That'd be nice.
Add user.
Christine?
Fill in the blanks.
If you look closely, though, you'll see first they've got a star.
Yes.
Last name has a star. Those are required.
Okay.
Other fields are optional. So we absolutely need to have a mailbox number.
What's our
what's your favorite number? That's not the major.
43.
You're allowed up to 16 digits here, by the way.
43. Oh. 43. Okay.
Now, if you add at this point, you're saying I want to use a regular user template on the top of the hole down there.
Okay.
So that regular user will have a certain number of attributes. If you wanted to have less or more, you select different templates. But of course, we would have to have previous knowledge of what the templates had before we added them. Regular user is safe, but everyone's got it here in this room. If we're using networking between different sites, it would be necessary.
Understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's use the search function to find Mr. Brown. You can put in a number here, or a first name, or a last name. previous record. Come on, let's take a look at that person's attributes. Thomas is not an administrator. So he doesn't have anything to do
with it. Did I come up with Brown's team?
I'm sorry?
He didn't use Brown Star.
Oh, yeah.
Mailbox number, language, accessing DMs, auto log on. That's saving you from putting in your password. Revert DM. If someone strikes zero, for example, hi, you reached Thomas Brown. I'm on my desk right now. If you'd like immediate assistance, press zero now. And then when you hit zero, it'll go to revert DM. So you're actually reverting to someone else. So you can like revert to the IT group's central number, let's say, if you program that.
Okay. We should do that part time.
And set the number half to be some Knox number. Short prompts for setup. Short prompts means Silicon Sally will not explain everything to death to you. You can assume that you know a little bit about what's going on.
With our voicemail system, it doesn't explain anything. Like, it's how to delete a message, how to write that stuff.
It does it in a
hell of a moment. Oh, it does. If you wait a little bit, it'll say, for mailbox commanders, press 8 star. Ooh, I like that. Press 7 star. Ooh.
Appreciate that. Like, we could potentially, like, say right off the bat, this message is, you know, 1-2, delete that. 7.
There is a facility to what, to change your prompts to a menu which is more suited like your cell phone. So it's very, very basic set of commands.
Yeah.
You don't get all the commands. You normally would have access to the command. Once you know what the commands are, you don't have to wait.
I know.
It's unlike the cell phone. Yeah. But you can just steer and blast through this stuff. So after you get used to it, it's actually a lot more efficient use of this time. Hack at it a bit more if you hate it, then
yeah,
you can change it.
So if you just stay on the line, it will tell you.
That's right.
That's right.
Remote notification if you want to be notified of your messages. If you guys have BlackBerries and you use SMTP notifications and stuff, then we can rid you of your voice notes.
What was that email gender or something, something instead of customer?
So you can read your emails here. So all those porn sites. Yeah. So read you whatever's contained in that message.
That's cool.
Triple X porn 1599.
Nice.
Respond by 10 p.m. Mm. So you'll read that to you. So you want a male reading that out to you or a female?
Good question.
I'll leave that personal choice up to you, and please don't share that with us.
So you could actually put this into like an email server?
Well, what it'll do is it'll just send a message to PMS saying this mailbox has email, or voice.
Okay.
For the read function, yes,
it
would have to.
Can it send you the voicemail and wave file?
No account. It'll just notify you. Yes.
That asks for sending.
And it doesn't make breakfast or pour you coffee or do your best. You've been nagged. If you have less fancy remote notification devices such as pagers, then you can set up a pager. If you want to be notified by telephone, you can do that. You can set up schedules so that it notifies you during certain periods.
Do you have the ability to control music?
On these?
On music? On hold music, yeah.
You would need a special music source.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is connect it and then program your system to the interface of the music.
And any kind of music source, that doesn't matter, just audio input.
Yes.
What's the PIN number?
PIN number would be if your numeric pager required or had a DID. But you didn't have a direct access to your data, you actually had to insert a PIN number after your DID. So that's for especially those 800 number paper numbers. You normally don't pay for an 800 number for yourself. You share with 2400.
Now, again, if you want to make a long distance call, you've got to provide your prompt, right?
Right. Well, what we can do is the prompt is generated where? At the phone, at the PBX hole or by the central office?
No, PBX hole.
Okay, so if it's at the PBX level, then what we can do is set this up so the call pilot can already bypass that. If we were at the central office level, there'd be no way to bypass that.
So just heads up for you guys, the security guy will get a BlackBerry at some point. And so one of the things we want to be able to do for this is a little bit independent as opposed to this, but they have a phone assigned to their desk down there. Mm-hmm. I want to basically have a program a button that says, okay, you know, just go out and make rounds or whatever. And it takes a BlackBerry with them, and you can go forward to the BlackBerry while it's moving around. So I don't know if we want to walk through that today.
That would be a phone set programming.
Yeah.
And we would just program a call forward button on the side.
Okay.
And then he could program and set the call forward to the cell phone, whatever it may be. And he would interact with the phone set for the moment of that. Okay, let's let the rest of the mailbox here. So email us and be notification when we move along. Well, this is key code control. I don't believe you guys have paid for it. So even if you do configure it, it may not work. Most likely won't.
So this will go in and get our email and read it for you?
If you dial in and you pay for it.
Yeah. I'm not sure I understood the sense of that. Like which way you're going. That screen there says
that screen.
If I get an email, this thing's going to detect that an email came in.
That's right. And if you call in, it would read your email to you over the phone.
Which is, in our case, no option.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For salespeople, we don't want to operate a blocker and phone on the car or something like that. I'm not really sure. It's not
a blocker.
A real necessary. That's right. That's right. That's what I'm saying. It's not really a feature that's standard. Like, I mean, I'm sure they spend a lot of time doing it. The next customer that we're working with, they want it. So we're considering it. Every customer you need, right? Mm-hmm. Quixie? And if we wanted to delete him, so it's getting all the call pile maps. Move that data, that's what we're calling max. So, if someone's moving from extension to extension, though, the best thing is to give everyone the expectation that they have to clear out their messages, delete both their boxes, put them both back in brand new.
Let's test very good.
The ID side of things, we're not talking anything about that.
That's right.
The expectation, we don't have any ID sets.
Yeah, that's the software.
We have the software.
Yep.
I'm not going to figure that out. I'm not going to figure that out.
Was there a reason for that?
The reason is that we may want to have a VPN client and then use software and give
okay.
The phone system.
Then you can hear anything sell you?
What's that? It's not selling
it. Okay.
So I don't know if you want to talk about it now or if you just
ping
me in here at some point and say, what way are you here?
You've got the IP addresses have been pre-assigned.
Yeah.
We need to turn on your signal server. This is the one new device at the top of your system.
Yeah.
There's also a media card for the actual VoIP traffic. you can install the soft clients at various points of your network here.
Yeah.
You can set up some calls internally. And once you get your VPN going, just take your laptop home, establish your VPN, and it'll work the same way.
Right. So, is that something you want to do today, or is something
you want to do later? It would probably be a 1 or 2 day commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's somewhat like you can do that
work. Definitely. I asked about that earlier. Why aren't we doing this now? So, I guess at this point,
the way it was left was you were going to explore using Contivity, which is NorCal's VPN product.
Right.
But Signal hasn't provided the other product to it.
So oh, I see.
And we're leaving the way to get pushed. Mm-hmm. So, maybe I'm only next week, so it's not going to happen in the month.
Well, I wouldn't wait for the VPN. What I would do is I would set up baby steps, get the IPsec going. Okay, working on a little hub in the network room, and then start branching out and start using the different points in your network. And after we did that, we're happy about it. Have someone take the laptop home.
Do the phones have a GUI interface, or are they just being sticky?
They're access sticky.
Oh.
Maybe by sticky. Is that GUI?
Oh, I see. That's true.
Yes, they're definitely GUI. And what you were just using there, actually, if you're reading some of the documents, is a TUI. It's a lot of new user interface. Instead of a draft user interface. And right now we're using a GUI. I'm not making this up. This is a browser user interface. I'm not making this up. Yeah. Acronyms suck, don't they?
Part of our lives.
So that's the way I would proceed if I were asked to install that for you.
Okay.
I would do the baby steps. The VPN, once you got it working around here, then the VPN will start any problems.
Right.
Okay. As long as we get somehow straight to the core, get some fast connections there. We've only got 8 clients, right? 8 IP sets or so?
It's
fine. Okay, maybe it's fine.
Let's try it.
You couldn't generate any traffic with 5 phone sets.
What's that?
You couldn't generate any traffic with 5 phone sets.
No.
Like the last job that Steve Bevan and I did was 500 for a lawyer firm, for Signal. And we had to do some really extensive testing for the network for working fine before all the lawyers went behind.
And now it's inside the network?
That's right. They use Cisco 4500s in a dual configuration. And they have 5 floors with more than 100 people per floor. And so it was quite intense.
So with our cell phone, they're going to be able to take them outside the building? Or is it just for internal?
Well, you can take them anywhere you want. Oh, you mean on the work?
I want the work.
Yeah. Wherever you can get some sort of data connection. If you have wireless, and the wireless brings you back to your network,
this will work as well. We would like forward through a port to the PDX, or to somebody to listen for these IP connections?
The way it would work is you've got a Signal server or a node IP address.
Yep.
You would turn on your laptop, whether it was running static or DHCP.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to declare where the IP address of the phone system was.
Yep.
On your network. It would then register with the phone system. You would have to have a TN sign. Just like you have a TM assigned for these, in OTM you'd have to program a IPsec with all the features that you wanted.
Yeah.
Most likely you'd want to mirror the same extension that you have on your physical phone on your desk. So that if you're at home through your high-speed account, VPN into the PI.
Okay, so it's all from VPN.
Well, once you get off of the network,
Then
it has to be through VPN. Unless you register some static IP addresses to the PBX.
Which is what I was sort of thinking was that if that is feasible, but I may not want to do that. That is physically possible.
Oh, it's physically, yeah, and customers do that. Okay. They can have phone sets registered.
Is that secure?
Sorry?
Is that secure?
Yeah, is it secure?
Yeah, we have a firewall, and then you have to open up a bunch of ports for.
That's exactly it. A whole bunch. It's not just one or two, it's a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Well, there's some signaling, there's some actual voice traffic. I smell soup. super annoying. Someone's going to get some like buttery popcorn now. For those of you at home, can you take this thing off me?
I didn't check to see if I had any boogers on my hands. If you didn't want to use the soft phone requires Bluetooth headsets and not T-phones. We're talking about full duplex, Plantronics, fairly good quality headsets. I've tried the FTP headsets working, which were not recommended by Marshall. And they say they're full duplex, but they don't work well. So you can hear them, or and you think, oh yeah, this IP stuff stinks. But I think happens to the headset plugging into the laptop.
So these soft phones are actually Nortel-based software?
It's Nortel-based software that you get. So you can use all the proprietary features. Because with the SIP and stuff like that, you just get basic alcohol. You need to use a good quality headset. If you wanted to actually take the phones at home, you'd have to have a VPN gateway so you can get it to your own. Are you guys considering that? Well, what would you use like a gateway box at home? Because...
Well, yeah, there's one potential use for that, and that is if it's apartments for all our visitors stay.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice to be able to just give them an extension on our phone system.
Yeah.
In those apartments. And that would be the mechanism to do it.
Can you software-based VPN?
Well, how would you do that? Would you use software-based VPN with basically a tunnel for your laptop? So how would you go
in with that? You have to set up on every visitor's machine if you don't want to do that, right? So you can stick this piece of hardware that actually acts as essentially like the router does now.
Right. Yeah.
They come and plug in.
And then a second thing, they can plug in behind it. Because these aren't capable of setting up a VPN tunnel.
Then if you're doing that.
What's that?
Then if you're doing that, you can cancel out the bell.
No, there's still be a bell because that's how you're coming in.
Oh, that's right.
You're still coming in.
But I mean, just cancel the cell phone.
Equipment management, air expenses, your numbering plan, most likely support, you make sure it would support.
They have security. Especially if they had like 10 apartments and they all came through, they got jailed out, some from our PBX in here, then all of those become permanent.
There is a 911 issue. You'd have to configure your database and report it to the fire department, the PSAP, and you have to declare what sets are present where. It's very important because if they pick up one dial 911, fire trucks are coming here.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not going where your apartments are, where are they, by the way?
It's step on here.
Okay, so
they're blocking.
It's a block away, it's serious issues. So you have to make sure 911 is paying attention to it. And you have to let people know.
Is that a legal requirement?
Definitely.
So yeah, any strictly voice over IP system has to notify.
Yes. When I'm picking up on knowledge, it's as much of a section as the technical piece.
Yeah, like when I signed up for Prime, they said if I was going to cancel my home line, if I had Rogers, I would have to, part of the agreement was to have to sign this thing and they would then they would know about the
car. Yeah.
The privacy room. I find you quite illuminating, Steve.
Thank you.
On camera.
For those of you at home, the last job where we had to pay close attention to 911 was a hotel, and they wanted to have a whole wing in IP. Well, this wing happened to be more than 600 or 700 feet away, and it was almost a separate building. So we had to declare each floor, each phone, almost to where. And if you're afraid somebody's phone system would pick up and block, because now. The extension stays in the back of these ISDN sets, but if you pick up your IP set, the whole advantage of it, and plug it somewhere else, now the database is out of it. So, or where do you log in?
How do you interface with, like, it doesn't matter, it's the side, like, does 911 know, like, do you send telemetry to them that says?
You have to, there's a facility called the PSAP, I forget what it stands for, but it's a central database that everyone accesses, it's a public record, and, fire department, 911, everybody knows about it. When they get a phone call from someone, if it comes up calling ID or if you declare what your phone number is, then they'll be able to go, I'd say, oh yeah, you're down the street, not in the office. So by law, you have to declare that. I mean, it's important. Especially with the IT stuff. PSA. 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 911, yes. And that wouldn't be programmed in call pilot or OTM. That would be a low-level, switch-level programming where we would set up that database, and then we would have to notify. So perhaps let's get back, pursue the IP stuff. We can get everything hooked up, and once your connectivity is set up, then you can figure out the...
Yeah, that portal, that part of it.
You make, if it's a building down the street, you may consider wanting to set up a fatter pipe. How many phone systems are we talking about down there?
It's what, 10 apartments?
One
building or two buildings?
Two buildings. Okay, well, 10 apartments, that's no biggie. I was thinking if it's 100 or 150, you could set up another remote cabinet. And then you can give them local dial tone for emergency purposes. Because if your IP, if your network goes down, or someone's rebooting it, they don't have any dial tone. But if you were set up a remote cabinet, you could set up some local lines there. For 100, it makes sense.
There's already local lines there, right?
Yeah.
So, just put, use this phone to dial 911.
That's right, one of them, maybe.
No, I'll dial one, right? Mm-hmm. That just solved that problem. Right?
Yeah, exactly. If you're worried about it. Because I don't think it's really a requirement for that many people. But it'll save you $500 in phone lines every month.
We're going to pay for your DSL. So you still need a phone line to get DSL, right? So
well, how many DSL lines are you going to bring in?
Well, right now, it's every apartment.
It's every apartment one.
Wow.
Why don't you get a router to aggregate that bandwidth? Now you got some.
Because we don't own the buildings.
Wow.
We don't control.
I was going to get email. Awesome.
Almost.
Almost. Yeah, so
we don't own the building yet.
No.
That's clear. We keep getting more apartments from this file.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you guys okay with what you've seen so far?
Yeah.
Any burning questions? Are they going to follow the page? I'm not holding
that.
What I've tried to show you is not the... not what will be easy to figure out, but what's going to trip you up. And I think we spent enough time in sinking that you're going to be fading keys, moving keys. Fortunately for you guys, your numbering plan is set up so that you can save yourself on a lot of the day-to-day stuff.
That was the intent.
That was the intent. Enough.
Whether we can say stick to it is there.
But the harder you stick to it, the longer you stick to it, the easier it'll get out there.
Okay, sure.